This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. Great to be here as always. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. I'm doing good. It's President's Day, right? Happy President's Day. America is blessed with having one of the weakest and most feckless persons serving as President of the United States, and even more feckless surpassing Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer. We probably would take a peanut farmer at this point versus someone who's lost their nuts.
Let's go, Brandon. Woo!
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
Various shots that people are getting now cover that. You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Somebody gotta do it. Hey, let's go, Brandon. I keep drawing my Dominic Cannon. Hey, let's go, Brandon. Hand in the game.
Bryson Gray. I mean, even the rappers are getting into this. But it's President's Day. It's an official holiday. Banks are closed. Some offices are closed today. But you know what? The Vito Esposito Show is not closed. It's live and underway. And I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go check out his blog. It is www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blogspot. Does a great job 7 days a week. Has some great stories. If you want to get domestic and international news, that's the place to check out. You get all aspects of news and from all periodicals. Hello to Ducky Northwest. And, of course, hello to Sue from New Mexico. Good evening, Sue. Happy Patriots Day, everyone, and everyone that's listening on podcast and other vehicles, including your phone. Imagine, huh? I just downloaded the Spreaker app on my phone so I can listen to Joshua on the Simone Nicole Show on Wednesdays and RZ on Thursdays and Saturdays, and having a little bit of a problem getting logged into that thing, but it's kind of cool. Imagine you can listen to, you can listen to Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker.com on your phone. I mean, it's amazing. right? Technology is grand.
Hey, phone's like a computer.
Isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, our phone, the phone you're having your hand or next to you, is more, the computer power is more powerful than the computers that sent a rocket to the moon many moons ago.
Yeah. They use, what, the 380 platform, 380 something or other, and I don't know. But I remember that, you remember the dual floppies had the hard floppy and the hard, the little 3 1/4 inch, and then the 5 1/2 inch or 5 1/4 inch floppy. I mean, that, you thought that was a state of the art with a 12-inch green screen. Now it's like, holy crap, you get more power out of your phone. And like an iPhone 13 Pro is incredible, and how fast it is. And I mean, you're on all kinds of, you know, all kinds of stuff that you can download. The pictures are fantastic, by the way, on these phones, aren't they? Oh, my God.
Oh, incredible. But now, thanks to President Biden, we now have these supply chain problems. And now a lot of our technology has come to a grinding halt because we can't get computer chips.
Yeah. I'm gonna jump to this, but and we'll get to the news of the days. But it's funny you should bring up about that. And I was listening to the Chris Salcido show here before. I had it on in the background, and he was playing a clip from a member of Congress, a Democrat. Of course, there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party, but a Democrat from Texas, and he was talking about how because of the conflict in Russia, we are going to experience supply chain delays, and it is our patriotic duty that we're going to pay more for energy. Now, I'll tell you something, Al. I don't have to tell you, actually. You know. And everybody who listens to Global Patriot Radio knows that is the most dishonest and piece of misinformation that we can hear from the corrupt and the anti-American Democrat Party. The Democrat Party now is trying to associate the supply chain interruptions with the turmoil that's going on with Russia and Ukraine that was manufactured by Russia. Now, for the last year, this idiot in the White House, this buffoon Biden, has disrupted the entire delivery system for America's goods and services, including energy. We had gone from energy independence in 2020 to being energy dependent in less than 1 year. 1 year with this bonehead Biden intentionally. And so now the bonehead Biden hasn't said a word about the increased energy costs. Okay. So we're paying $3.50 a gallon, $3.75. Boy, in California is paying $5.75 a gallon as a result of Biden taking us off of energy independence. He did this prior to the Russian talking about invading Ukraine. But, of course, Biden has disregarded everything that's happened for this last year with regards to a drastic rise in energy costs, particularly at the pump, and now, of course, with heating oil costs rising over 54% from December of 2021. Okay? December of 2020, excuse me. 54% increase, at minimum of 54% increase. So now the new Democrat talking points, now the Democrat Party talking points will be that, hey, you may experience, or we may experience some interruptions in our trade due to Russia potentially invading the Ukraine, or the buildup of Russia at the Ukrainian border. And it's funny, isn't it, how the Biden-Harris-Obama administration is currently concerned about a country's borders, okay? But it's not America's borders, it's the country. So now you've got the Democrat Communist Party narrative is to blame the supply chain interruption on Russia-Ukraine international issue. I mean, you want to talk about shameless. You want to talk about dishonest. A campaign of disinformation. This administration, the Biden-Harris-Obama administration, this regime is the one of the most dishonest regimes since Hillary Rotten Clinton was Secretary of State. It's unbelievable what we're hearing out of this. I could not believe my ears when I heard this, that congressman, a black congressman from Texas, stating that we may be experiencing some supply chain issues due to the Russian-Ukrainian conflict, and it is our patriotic duty to pay more at the pump. And then, of course, that other cement head, communist Kamala, is talking about, you know, we may feel a little more energy. We may feel a little more at the pump and pay a little higher prices, but it's worth it to help to protect our allies and their democratic values, you know, all those that BS talking points. Oh my God. Nothing about this administration, this regime, the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, taking America off of energy independence. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. When that feckless fraud, the little Joe, came into office, oil was like $42, $43 a barrel. Today, it's $95 a barrel, all because of the feckless fraud's policies or his lack thereof, intentionally taking America off of energy independence. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe my ears, Al. I couldn't believe my ears. And I didn't even have any espresso at that point. Well, excuse me, I did. I'm sorry. I did have – I had an Americano and espresso.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I tell you, President Biden's okay with the Nord Stream pipeline, but as far as the XL pipeline, he wants to shut that down, and that's going to feed Americans oil. He's shutting down oil exploration in federal lands. President Trump opened all that up, and we were a net positive oil producer for the first time in decades, and that was shut down within a year. Now we're fighting with President Biden's begging OPEC to lower rates. Why is he doing that is the big question, because it wasn't easy to flip everything around. He had to make a cascade of decisions in order to achieve that end of oil prices going up, and I believe that he did it because he wants higher oil prices to promote electric cars and alternative energy. He doesn't give a crap about what it costs for goods or inflation. He's doing this for a reason, and that is his reason. So he's purposefully causing all of this, the price of energy going up, the supply chain problems, chaos, because he's a Marxist.
Yes, exactly.
So just say it, people. Just say it.
You know, I'm going to say it. You have a regime that is hell-bent on punishing the American people, for having the audacity to elect an outsider outside of Washington, D.C. The American people who continue to support this belief that America is a constitutional republic, while the destructive Democrat Party continues to refer to America as a democracy. You have a feckless fraud with this little Joe buying oil from Russia, buying oil from Iran, buying oil from OPEC, buying oil from Venezuela, when in fact the United States was experiencing a surplus and being one of the largest importers of oil. We had enough oil to serve the United States of America for at least the next 150 years. There was no reason, no way, shape, or form that we should be infected by what's happening in Russia, Ukraine. None. Zero, zilch, nada. All the more reason for the foresight of Donald J. Trump, President Trump, for making America energy independent. All the more reason for making America independent again. Unlike the Biden-Harris-Obama regime making America dependent again. And now we are dependent upon foreign sources of oil, and we are totally affected by a crisis, by world crisis, like what's happening with Ukraine. Whether or not it's real or not, whether it's a false flag, I still believe it's a false flag. I still believe that with Biden's numbers tanking, with Harris being, just being an absolute abject failure, they needed something to prop up the two of these buffoons. And the best way to do it is to make it appear that there was a diplomatic solution that resolved the Ukrainian incident. I don't believe it. You can't believe anything coming out of Washington, D.C. anymore. The whole January 6th issue was all contrived by the Democrat Party. And of course, no accountability at all to disturb the House for her role in making sure there were no additional police, no additional law enforcement, or even National Guard in Washington, D.C. And again, we have a spending spree that's occurring in Washington, D.C. You know, I saw a great meme, and we have to thank a mutual friend of ours. With regards, it said, why do we need a $4 trillion jobs plan when a year ago we had the lowest unemployment in history without using taxpayer money? And it's so true. And a year ago, referring to back in 2020, we had the lowest unemployment. And again, all by design. There's just no way, shape, or form that what we are seeing today should have happened. None. Zero. But it's all intentional. You can't help otherwise. You can't help thinking otherwise. It's disgraceful. It really is. And now the Democrat Party mantra, the new slogans and sound bites that will be pranced out along all mediums will be that, hey, you may expect an interruption in supply chain because of the Russia-Ukrainian incident that's occurring. Well, excuse me, but it wasn't occurring 6 months ago. It wasn't occurring 8 months ago. We have a supply chain interruption that's been going on for almost a year since Pete Buttcheeks went out on a maternity leave and really disregarded everything that was going on with regards to transportation. It's unbelievable what we are witnessing today. Unbelievable, the incompetence. But is it incompetence? Incompetent means you really don't understand what's going on, but you intentionally do it. It's called sabotage. And that's what the Biden-Harris-Obama regime is. They are sabotaging the United States. They're sabotaging this economy and intentionally doing it. Now we have a supply chain interruption and expected that it's your patriotic duty to pay $4 a gallon for gas. Because we're going to save democracies around the world. We can't save our own republic, but we're going to save everybody else's.
Well, rest easy, America, because President Biden had a Zoom call Ooh. With his counterpart in the Ukrainian region in Eastern Europe. And he sent Kamala Harris, the vice president, over there because it's such a front burner issue for him that he couldn't even travel over there and show a sign of force to Russia that, hey, America's here, I'm here, don't fuck with us. Well, I guarantee you that President Biden would have been over there in the Ukraine, and then he would have got some dossiers on what Hunter was doing over there, too. While he would have got a twofer, stopped the war, and then found out what Hunter and Joe Biden were doing over in the Ukraine.
You mean Trump?
Trump, yeah, Trump would have gone over there and done all that. He would have got a twofer, stopped the war, and then got the goods on the Biden family.
Well, hey, the reason why they sent Communist Kamala over there was because she did such a stellar job at the border in the United States with our U.S. southern border that now she's an expert on border security. So
true.
I'm sure that's why they sent her.
Well, there's no Mexican. You don't see Mexicans going over the Ukrainian border, do you? It was a success, and I don't want you talking bad about our vice president.
That's true. You know what? I apologize. That's right.
That's
has been a
damn
success.
Right.
There's no
you owe
Mexicans
America.
Jumping
Forget
over.
About me. You owe America an apology.
Oh, my
Everyone,
goodness.
Everyone.
I apologize, Al. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for setting me straight. Oh, my goodness.
Apology accepted on behalf of our great nation.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, I didn't I didn't know to get to some of the stories. You remember PJ O'Rourke?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Great rider.
He was he had some good stuff, and I didn't realize he passed away at the age of 74. He had a couple of good books. I think I still have one of his conservative books that he wrote. I can't remember the name of it, but he was a pretty good writer. It was back in the 90s, I think he wrote the book, and I can't remember the name of the book. I'm going to have to find it, but I think I still got it. But so rest in peace, PJ O'Rourke. He had a clever clever wit. Liked what he had to say. So, I mean, he was that was kind of a loss there. But PGA news real quick. The Genesis Invitational was played at the famed Riviera Country Club in California outside of Los Angeles. The Riviera was established in 1926, and it's one of the tour's toughest courses. Chile's Joaquin Niemann led after the first day, shooting an impressive 863. Then he backed it up on Friday, to shoot another 63, 16 under par after 2 days. The young man was lights out. He's 23 years old. He took a 5-shot lead into Saturday's round, and then he maintained that lead. Nobody could catch him. There were no moves, really. People kind of stalled. Got it up to 21 under at one point on Sunday, backed down a little bit. And then the young man, Joaquin Niemann, ended up winning the Genesis Invitational, which is Tiger is the honorary chair of, I believe it's his tournament. Joaquin Niemann ended up winning by 2 shots over American, who was it? Colin Morikawa and Young? I believe the other guy was Young, who shot 17 under par, but Joaquin Niemann was 1 shot shy of the record, Genesis Invitational record, that's still held by Lenny Watkins, who shot a 20 under for 4 days. So what a great course. What a great playing by the young 23-year-old Chilean, Joaquin Niemann. So watch this this young man. He could be on the road. It's his second PGA Tour win, but he was quite impressive and had a hell of a short game and has one tough course. Did you watch any of it?
I watched quite a bit of it, and it was great. Morikawa did make a run at it, but missed a very important putt, and that kind of took the steam out of it. It was tough to make up two holes and two shots in 6 holes. But Niemann, great, solid player. Like you said, things to watch. And then on the other end of the golfing story is Phil Mickelson is rankling some feathers.
Oh, man. Well, go ahead.
No, no, no. Go on. I'm going to get your take on Mr. Mickelson.
Well, if it's about the new tour that the Saudi Arabians are funding, I think that's what you're referring to.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm disappointed in both Phil Mickelson and with Charlie Hoffman, both PGA Tour pros, both have been on the tour a long time. The new Saudi tour, you know, and that's just it with the Islamic world. They throw money at stuff and they're trying to legitimize, their venture into professional golf. Greg Norman is their president or chairman. He's heading it up. He's the front guy. Greg Norman's had a hard on for the PGA for a long time. You got Mickelson using the words greedy to refer to the PGA. And certainly I'm not in the PGA. I don't follow the inner workings of the PGA, but I got to tell you, I'm disappointed in Mickelson, who made his tens of millions with being a member of the PGA, and to boot, he's the reigning PGA champion. Okay, at the age of 51, here's a guy who wins the PGA championship, you know, over the age of 50, and the only other person to do that was Sam Snead. I think it's a little bit ungrateful. You know, Mickelson is still talented. I'm not taking anything away from his talent. Certainly, the way he plays, obviously he can still win, and he did at the age of 51. He won on the highest level. But he's at the end of his career with regards to the big tour. The money does drop off when you hit the senior tour, without a doubt. Okay, you know, yesterday's tournament paid Joaquin Niemann what, $2.4 million for first place, and certainly it's an elevated towards an invitational. But you have a you've got the senior tour where the first place prize is $400,000 at the highest level, $350,000, $380,000. So you can see that there's a $1 million difference. And I think Phil still has the game, so he's looking for a bigger paycheck. He's not going to get it on tour every week, okay, on the PGA Tour, because the talent pool is so good. But if the Islamic world is going to throw, you know, $20 million his way at the age of 50, well, I guess why not take it? I don't think I'd sell out America for the Islamic world, nor do I believe in Greg Norman and what he's doing, because he's had a hard on for the PGA Tour. He's always wanted to start a world golf league, and the Saudis are just going to throw money at it. And you know what? And Phil Mickelson would be an employee of the Saudi Tour, where right now he's an independent contractor, so he's free to go back and forth to Europe and play the European Tour, play the tour in Australia or here in the United States. In addition to that, the PGA takes care of their members pretty handsomely, because when you retire, there is a Social Security type payment, royalty, that you will receive as being a member of the PGA. Now, I don't know what Phil's problem is, okay? If anything, I'd be pissed at the USGA. I think their rules primarily suck half the time, and I think they trick up their courses. But I think the PGA's done a pretty damn good job in reacting and changing with the times. I mean, let's face it. Arnold Palmer took the PGA to a certain level. Jack Nicklaus comes along, and he takes it to the next level. Tiger Woods comes along and takes it even higher. And these guys today, including Phil Mickelson, wouldn't be playing for the prize money that they're playing for today. Jack Nicklaus played the Genesis Invitational back in 1961. It was his, or 1958. His first paycheck was placing in the Genesis Invitational. And do you know what his paycheck was, Al? It was $33.33. That's what he won. There's nobody. The guy that finishes in 75th place makes like $15,000. So, you know, the times certainly have changed. And I don't agree with Mickelson. I don't agree with Charlie Hoffman's statement. I think Holger sent me an article where Brando Chambly was critiquing the Charlie Hoffman comments, and I think Brandel Chambly, I don't agree with him a lot, but he nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. Charlie Hoffman shouldn't have hit the ball in the water, and since he hit it in the water, he had to suffer the consequences of a penalty. Now, the one thing I don't agree with the way courses are set up is that they shave these mounds in the grass so much so that sometimes you can't hold the ball. And that's the biggest issue with Augusta. You know, you hit the green on 15, you have any spin on it, it could roll 20 feet backwards and then roll down another 30 feet into the water. That's not fair. You should have the grass higher. Hey, be it as it may, Charlie Hoffman hits the ball in the water. He takes his penalty drop two club legs from the red line. Okay, he drops the ball. The ball's at rest. He goes back to get a club. He walks over towards the ball, and the ball then rolls back. It rolls back into the water, and it's a penalty. Okay, now he's blaming the PGA for that. That was the PGA's fault. And so both of these guys are both proclaiming, well, this is the reason why the players are jumping to the Saudi league. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's pure greed. It's pure greed. That's it. Because guess what? Phil Mickelson's not going to make $20 million on the PGA Tour over the next 2 to 3 years. Maybe in sponsors endorsements he might over the next 5 years, but any winnings, unless he wins 3 or 4 tournaments in a year, he's not going to make $20 million. But he can go to the Saudi Tour, and he'll make his $20 million because that's what they're going to pay him. They're throwing money at him for that. And I can't believe he would jeopardize his Hall of Fame career at the PGA for a $20 million bucks from the Saudis. Okay, go ahead. I digress. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off like that. Go ahead.
Well, it's the Saudi League's giving Phil Mickelson, they're giving him a little leverage to torque the PGA. And the PGA does need some torquing because, for one, I guess the one anecdote that really upset Phil Mickelson is that the PGA controls all photo images during an event. Phil Mickelson wanted some pictures taken during one of the events that he played in, and the PGA was going to charge him for those pictures of himself. And that's one of the anecdotes of what has got Phil torqued. And from there, it's just built upon itself, and now he's got a little leverage with the House of Saud. But with dealing with Saudi Arabia, I don't know. That's pretty tricky. I would stay away from them. Mm-hmm. And the PGA will be the PGA.
You know what? And one other thing. Okay, so that's a great point when you said about pictures. And I'm just going to say this. The PGA can rectify that very easily. And because all players are independent contractors, it's very easy to resolve. Okay? And I know, and I'm sure the PGA can resolve it. And they can remedy the issue quickly. Now, you're an independent contractor with the PGA. With the Saudis, you're going to be an employee. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You go to the Saudis with an issue like that, and they have it in writing that you're an employee and we own you. You tell me, how long will it take the Saudis from making a decision to release photos? You're an employee. Excuse me, you're an employee. Excuse me, you don't have the right to go to any of these tournaments. Oh, you're an employee. You can't go to the British Open. You're an employee. You can't play in the U.S. Open. You had guys missing pros that were missing the Pebble Beach as a result of the Saudis conducting a tournament at the same time. Now, it made it very convenient because the Pebble Beach tournament can be a 6-hour round because of all the amateurs they have in there, and that's the reason, one of the reasons why Tiger Woods wouldn't play it, because it was a 6-hour round. So there was really no loss there, but excuse me, you're an employee of the Saudis. You think that you can have flexibility with the Saudi Arabians who have just thrown $20, $30 million at you? You're an indentured slave to them. And you're bitching about the PGA who considers you an independent contractor? See, yep. I'm not buying it.
And as an independent contractor, you can make all the deals with manufacturers that you want without PGA approval.
That's correct.
The PGA is not – they don't get in the middle of the endorsement contracts with the players, do they?
No, but they'll assist in it. You know, they'll assist with the sponsorships and stuff, but they will set the guidelines, you know, that we require you to have this where you can't have that. You have to use the, mm-hmm. you know, the equipment has to meet specifications from the USGA and the Royal and Ancient. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, but I'm sorry. I just, you know, I'm not buying it. And of course, we're talking about an employee versus an independent contractor. You think you've got flexibility as an independent contractor? Nah, give me a break. So,
but either way, it's an interesting discussion. But I don't know. What would Juwan Howard do?
He'd slap the crap out of somebody.
Yeah, he'd take one of those shakes and slap the hell out of him. Or he'd grab Phil Mickelson and slap the hell out of Phil.
That's right. Shake, shake, shake.
Let's all be Juwan Howard.
Yeah, Juwan needs to show better restraint and come up with less excuses for being from Chicago. You know, a coach should not engage in any type of physical altercation with anybody, And that's one thing he's going to have to learn as a coach. He should be suspended for the rest of the year. He shouldn't be able to lead his team in March Madness if, in fact, they get an invite. I think, you know, there's got to be consequences for his actions. Should he be fired? I'm not sure. But at least he should be suspended, and he should be suspended until September. And he shouldn't be able to recruit anybody. He's got to – you can't – a coach can't cross that line and get into any physical altercations with an opposing team, player, or opposing coaches. It's just not cool. But that's the kind of state we're in right now.
Yeah. And then we had a big day in NASCAR, the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of that?
I did. I watched the happened to catch the ending of it. My cable went out, and I brought it back on, and watched the end of the PGA tournament, and then I turned it over, and I caught the last seven laps of the NASCAR. That's Daytona 500, the world's biggest race, and a wreck ensued in with seven laps to go. It sent the race into overtime, and rookie Austin Cindric was leading the way in a number two car, which was previously driven by Brad Keselowski, who I guess got fired from the number two or removed from the number two. And Rusty Wallace, if you're a NASCAR fan, Rusty Wallace drove the number two car at Hall of Famer. But Cindric held off Bubba Wallace on the very last lap at the white flag, coming down the stretch. An accident occurred behind them. Austin Cindric blocked the number 17 car, came down. Bubba Wallace was side by side, and I think he nosed out Bubba Wallace to win his first Daytona 500. And more importantly, he's a rookie who was running in his first Daytona 500. How cool was that?
Yep, that's quite a check mark on your list of achievements for sure.
Yeah, you know, right out of the block. The sad part is he loses that car for a year. It goes on display in Daytona for a year.
Well, maybe not, because there are technology issues during this race. I don't know if they didn't report much about it, but a lot of the NASCARs, usually they'll bring two cars to a big race like this in case they have to switch out due to an accident or malfunction. But in this race, a lot of the teams only had one car due to chip and technology issues due to the supply chain problem we were talked about earlier.
Oh, so it was due to the Ukrainian-Russian international incident that's occurring?
Apparently so. So the supply chain is reaching in even into NASCAR. But I have to tell you, I watched a lot of the race, and I found it incredible. Outside of the accidents, which were spectacular, it was a very boring restrictor plate race. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the most boring of the racing events, especially Daytona, because it's line racing, team racing, and one of two lanes, the whole thing. There's no passing. The cars are in one big group. One wreck can take out everybody, as we saw. And it's just terrible racing. And I don't know. I just don't like it.
I'll tell you, there's nothing like being in the pits at Daytona. There really isn't.
Yeah.
It is freaking awesome. I mean, the smell of gas, the watching the cars come in and the screeching and the smoke, and it's really kind of cool when you've got a pit view. Maybe that's what makes it kind of entertaining and exciting. But you know, you're right, because I've been to Bristol and watched that half mile track, and that's really exciting. There's a lot of passing, a lot of happening. It smells. It's so loud. I mean, you have to wear earplugs. I mean, even if you're in the upper stand. So yeah, I know what you mean about. I can see what you're saying about Daytona.
Yeah. Now, if you're there, it's great. I mean, we went to time trials a few years ago, and I tell you, the sound and the rumbling, the vibration—it is spectacular. There's no question about it. But as far as racing, I'll take open wheel over NASCAR any day. But also in this NASCAR, we also had a little diversity and inclusion with with Bubba Wallace coming in second. So all the race baiters and race whores are coming out. And instead of congratulating Bubba Wallace on his exceptional driving skills, it's all now Bubba Wallace is blacks, and now blacks are coming. It's a whole race thing bringing in, because they outlawed the Confederate flag. Now it's bringing in new owners. Michael Jordan, Pitbull owns a car. Michael Jordan owns a car. A couple of other rappers and entertainers, blacks own cars now. And so it's a new day.
Yeah, it's a new day. But you know who deserves credit for NASCAR that doesn't get it? Okay. But all he did was sponsor a team. All he did was try to help build, you know, build a following in NASCAR, and he gets zero credit, and that's Brad Daugherty. Brad Daugherty was a center in the NBA, had some injuries, but did very well in the NBA, and he put his money to good use. He's a big NASCAR fan, and he put together a team like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. He's been involved in NASCAR. He's not a guy on the whim. And this guy gets zero credit, zero. And all he did was try to bring, you know, a sense of color to NASCAR. And he did it in such a professional and an eloquent way. He's been an announcer on the spring season. He does announcing for the Nationwide, the Bush Tour, which is the one that comes the day before. I mean, if anybody should be heralded for what they've done, Brad Daugherty should be heralded. Bubba Watson, agreed. You know, it's great what he did. He's definitely a driver. The kid's got some cojones when he drives on the super speedways. But it's Brad Daugherty who helped break the color barrier in NASCAR, and Brad Daugherty has done it in such a classful way that he gets no credit for what he's done for bringing people of color into NASCAR, and it's not easy. And he did it. I'm so tired of hearing about Bubba Wallace and all that other crap, you know. But it's good. Look, the sponsorship is a problem in NASCAR, and NASCAR is shooting themselves in the foot. But you know, it's expensive, and these guys are good. These drivers are good, and if you make it in the top 40 driver on NASCAR, God bless you. And you know, just look at it. Never mind. But this is the problem with America today. In every facet of sports.
Oh. True.
All right, so we're done with sports. I'm done.
Yeah.
With sports.
Yeah, Olympics are over. Adios. Screw China. Now they're free to go after Taiwan, which I suspect will be happening soon.
Yeah, why not, right?
Why the hell not? If I was President Xi, I'd be all over Taiwan. I'd be up Taiwan's ass right this minute. What's our president going to do? Nothing.
Nothing. He's going to Taiwan on. Well, you know what? We have someone who does have a comment that would like to come in and put his two cents in. We got Hoser in the house. Good evening, Hoser. How you doing? What's
I'm
happening?
So sick of that Viking horn.
Hey there, Holger. Welcome.
Well, thank you, boys. I wanted to. I had a couple comments on what you covered early on. I figured I'd scoot in here real quick before you got off of those and people forgot about them. But you know, the one thing I did want to mention that with Phil Mickelson is, you know, since he is so butthurt about not being able to use his photos from the tour,
yeah,
you know, why doesn't he just go ahead and pick up a baseball bat, join Major League Baseball, and you know become a Major League Baseball player? And oh wait, that's right, Major League Baseball owns the rights to those photos. Oh
Okay.
Well, you know, Phil's kind of a big guy. You know, he could probably play tight end on a team in the NFL. You know, so he could just suit up and become a professional football player. And wait.
What?
The NFL owns all the rights to the photos there too.
No.
Sorry. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Damn.
Oh, anyway. Phil tries to make it sound like, you know, the PGA Tour is the only people that own these images and own this footage and all that shit.
Yeah.
Well, as Phil's attorney, all I can tell you is that's not a big deal, so scratch that. We'll take that off the list. Yeah. But my butt
So, I, you got me going when you got into the supply chain disruption.
Oh.
You know, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, I've said for so many years, you know, that these people in Washington, D.C. think we are the stupidest morons, you know, on the face of the earth. I mean, people like Hillary Clinton, you know, literally don't think we can even feed ourselves, you know. It takes a village to, you know, wipe Holger's ass. You know, so, I mean, they think, I mean, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, okay, is there literally more than 500 people in the entire country that would, like, say, whoa, geez, it looks like this Russian thing, that's what's causing all the problems.
Yeah, exactly.
For like a year. And they already said it was a pandemic. So
you're not buying it?
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not buying it, and you know, I guess if the congressman was making that statement, you know, if I was in the House, then I would, you know, if he yielded back some time, I'd just pop to my feet and say, you know, let me just back up a little bit, and you can answer to me how many supply chain issues did we have in the country back a number of years ago when we were fighting two concurrent wars with American troops. We were fighting in Iraq, and we were fighting in Afghanistan. Half the world was tied up by these two wars. But yet, I don't recall any supply chain disruption. I didn't have any trouble getting a TV dinner out of the store. I don't remember a rush on toilet paper.
Correct.
You know?
Correctamundo. Hit the nail on the head.
Know, they continue, and I mean, this is, you know, on my last show, I talked about the fact that these people insult us every single day. These people that are in office insult us every day. And you know, I basically was making the comment is how in the world could anybody in this country trust the government doing anything? How could you trust the government to do anything anymore? And this is just a case in point. You know, where they literally believe that they can spew this out now and people are going to, you know, like a year and a half from now are going to go look back and go like, well, yeah, you know, things were kind of tough back there in 2022, but it was that doggone Russian-Ukrainian thing. You know, Jesus Christ, beyond me.
And you know, who is going to counter it? Okay, so Chris Salcido did a good job in deconstructing and destroying, you know, that congressman. But do you think that MSNBC or CNN or any other DNC media outlets are going to challenge that assertion? That expects supply chain interruptions because of the Russian-Ukrainian issue that's going on right now? I mean, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. You don't talk about it for a whole year. You actually ignore it. If you're part of the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, you ignore any words concerning supply chain issues. And if you're the Secretary of Transportation or of Commerce, excuse me, you know, you go ahead and you go on maternity leave while you've got 26 ships that are full of containers that are supposed to be offloaded, you know, at the docks in Los Angeles and San Pedro, and you just ignore it. You ignore it. And now how do you cover for it? You talk about the Russia-Ukraine issue is going to cause supply chain issues, soldier. So that's the reason why you can't buy a car since February of 2021. I just want you to know that.
Well, typically the Democrats in this country, when they want to put out some totally absurd idea that is, you know, first of all, is blatantly a lie and completely untrue and completely far-fetched. I mean, whenever they do that, typically what they will do is they will use some sort of a minority to make that statement. So they would pick a black congressman to make the statement. Or ideally, a black woman would be even better because they use women a lot too. So they typically will use that tactic because then nobody will, certainly no other congressman would want to attack a protected class like that. I mean, it's kind of like when they decided to put out the absurd reasons for the Benghazi thing when they decided that it was because of the YouTube. You know, who did they send on all the Sunday programs to make that claim? I mean, they didn't send Lily White Hillary Clinton in to do it. They sent, remember
Susan
who
Rice.
They sent?
Susan Rice.
Susan Rice. Female and black.
Mm-hmm.
The duofecta. What do you call it? Not the trifecta, but
the dufecta.
Dufecta. The doofus fecta.
Yeah, the doofus.
So, yeah.
Well, you're right.
But
can I tell you who they pranced out? That it was a black congressman from Texas. So you hit the nail on the head.
See? Yeah. Well, I'm betting 1,000 here today.
You are. You are.
That's what happens when you pay attention.
You know, they're so predictable. It's scary, isn't it? They're so predictable.
Yeah.
They're boring. I think is what was it? Andrew had said that they're so predictable. They're boring.
Yeah, so true. Well, my last little comment was about when you touched upon the whole Keystone Pipeline and all that kind of good stuff. And while you were talking about it, I decided to go back and look at an old article because it's been a while and stuff. And there was an article from back in May of 2020, so that's damn near 2 years ago. And it says it's an article from Reuters, and the headline of the article is Democrat Biden says he would kill Keystone XL pipeline. So I read down, and it says Biden strongly opposed the Keystone Pipeline in the last administration, stood alongside President Obama and Secretary Kerry to reject it in 2015, and will proudly stand in the Roosevelt Room again as president and stop it for good by rescinding the Keystone XL Pipeline permit. Okay?
Yep.
So... and then above that, it says Biden was vice president in the Obama administration when it rejected the project as contrary to its efforts to combat climate change. Okay? So it's all about climate change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not environmental. It's not, mm-mm, you know, land use. It's not blah, blah, blah. It's not anything to do internationally with Canada. It's all about climate change. Okay? So in other words, if you don't want the... By shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, what you're doing is you're supporting climate change forms of energy type of thing and so forth. So obviously the fact that we're importing oil now from the Middle East, explain to me how that's helping climate change. I mean, does it really make a difference if we burn oil and emit carbon from oil that came out of our ground?
Yeah.
Or out of their ground.
Does it really make a difference?
Yeah.
Or is Islamic oil, does that like not, does that not emit carbon? Maybe.
That's over there.
Maybe it's been blessed.
Yeah, it's over there.
But, you know, I, when I first read the article thing while you were talking, something seemed funny. It says, he said, stood alongside President Obama and Secretary Kerry to reject it in 2015. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell would John Kerry was Secretary of State. What in the hell would the Secretary of State have to do with a pipeline in North Dakota? You know, he wasn't the climate change czar at that time. He was the Secretary of State. And then I thought, well, you know, that was in 2015. Let's see. What else? Do you remember what happened in 2015? Do you remember something very controversial happening that the Obama administration brought forward and got some pushback from the GOP and the Senate? Do you remember?
2015. No,
something with a so-called treaty with a nation that throws homosexuals off of 10-story buildings.
Luxembourg? No treaty with Luxembourg. No.
So anyway. They inked the deal with the Iranians on the nuclear weapon, the nuclear treaty, in 2015. Obviously, who was in the forefront of that but John Kerry?
Mm-hmm.
So if John Kerry helps nix the pipeline, Keystone pipeline in 2015, along with Obama, shuts it down. It can't start, obviously, without their blessing. So then John Kerry runs to the Iranians and says, hey, we just shut down the possibility of oil flowing from Canada and into the United States and the United States to refineries in the United States, so look what we did for you. We'll continue to buy your Iranian oil, and everything's cool.
Yeah, and we're not supposed to be buying any oil from Iran. I think it's called treason. That's probably for another show.
So
that
my whole point being
is
that
interesting data point. Tying that loose end from 2015, Holger, is brilliant. Nobody else has been talking about that.
So my whole point is we Obama and Biden as president and VP made the commitment that we would not be energy independent in this country. They did this so we would continue to be dependent upon Muslim OPEC. They made that decision. And obviously Donald Trump came into power and released the permit, and we were off to the races. And Joe Biden, if I'm not mistaken, it was like in the first one or two things that Joe Biden did when he literally walked into the Oval Office for the first day, it's like the first thing he did was revoke that permit.
Yep, exactly.
It shows you how important protecting those Middle Eastern countries is.
Yeah, and guess what? Making America dependent again—that was the mission by this buffoon Biden, and he's holding to it. And now, of course, the DNC is going to come to the rescue, and they're going to sanitize the absolute feckless policies of little Joe, and they're going to proclaim that the supply chain issues are strictly a result of the Russian-Ukraine incident, even though it happened. What, you know? It started 11 months ago.
So, I mean, if just let's do an impromptu poll of you two guys. How many people do you really think in America actually believe
in climate change, that we are harming the earth and that it's going to all burn up to a cinder. What percentage of Americans do you think actually believe that? Lock, stock, and barrel.
35%.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say, Al?
I got to say 50, because there's a lot of dumb people out there and a lot of young people who've been fed this since before Dr. Dre was famous. So I would say 50.
Okay, so even if it was 50, that still means that when you go to fill up your vehicle at your gas pump tomorrow, and you're pumping and you're pumping, and you get done and it clicks off, and you look at the total and just about lose your shit at the total, you know, the guy next to you, you got a 50-50 chance by saying, you know, they did that. They did that because of climate change. Doesn't that make you feel better? So you got a 50-50 chance of getting a pat on the back or maybe a pop in the nose, but those are good odds.
Yeah, the climate sure has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got for tonight.
Hey, well, what are your thoughts on the Ukraine war that hasn't quite happened yet?
I'm totally perplexed. I have no idea. This is like a Keystone Cops routine. I mean, it's got to be the most publicized invasion of a country in the history of mankind. I mean, it's like, you know, I wasn't in the military and stuff. I'm certainly not a military guy, but, you know, I got to believe that when you're going to invade a country, you kind of want to have a little bit of an element of surprise. if this is a case where the Biden administration literally wants war there to cover up their incompetence and their failures, then we go back to, you know, page one where we started talking about how they think we're all idiots out here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, geez, I guess there's a little war going on over there in eastern Ukraine. There's a little war going on, and so I don't really mind paying $68 for a fucking tank of gas.
Mm.
Yeah, I forgot all about it.
Yeah, you know, you forgot about, funny how your grocery bill that's increased by 33%, your heating fuel is increased by 55%, your gas is increased by 50%, your taxes have gone up, your overall costs are increasing rapidly. It's not just $250 increase for the year, and now it's well over $1,000 costing you. But let's go ahead and key, and let's remain on a war that is not war, an invasion that's not been an invasion, and let's just go ahead and start this campaign of misinformation to distract the American people from your own woes. Look, the people of Ukraine have it really bad right now because the Russians are at the border, and we're going to send our border czar, Kamala Harris, to defuse the situation diplomatically. I mean, that's a comforting thought if you're a Ukrainian.
Well, and where are all the protests?
Yeah.
Where are all the protests on American streets against war, a war going on in Ukraine? You know, where's Code Pink? Remember Code Pink?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, where are those people? I mean, they obviously were peace activists and you know, wanted us out of Iraq because the war was wrong and stuff. And where are those people? I mean, is this one okay?
No. Apparently so. That is a great point. I haven't heard that either. Where is Code Pink? Where are all the protesters? Where are the Democrat peace activists?
Yeah.
Where are the Methodists, for crying out loud? The human secularists.
See, Al, this is why people tune in to Global Patriot Radio, because you don't get this shit on CNN.
No, but that means, no. But by them not being there, it also means that they are the puppets of the Democrat Party. So now we know who pulls their strings.
Yeah, they haven't got a memo yet.
Well, it's just further proof that this whole outrage was all manufactured by the Democrat Communist Party with regards to Trump. The whole issue of Donald Trump being rogue, being a dangerous and you know, all this anti-constitutional and being a dictator was all manufactured BS by the Democrat Communist Party. When in fact, it is they, the Democrat Party, who are the fascists. They are the anti-constitutionalists. And frankly, the Democrat Party is anti-American today. And now we're seeing just how fraudulent the Democrats are. Code Pink is silent. Where are the warmongers out there these peacemongers who are outraged about the prospect of war? It's not that we're going to war with Iraq or Afghanistan or Yemen. You're talking about one of the biggest adversaries, and you're talking about two countries who, if each country releases their arsenal of nuclear weapons, wipes out the entire world. And suddenly all the Democrats and their violent arms and their hags are all silent. To me, it just goes to show how fraudulent the attacks were on President Trump, how it was manufactured and engineered by the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C. to discredit a man. And I got to tell you, to me, Holger, I know we're a show that talks about Islam, but I am so impressed more and more each day to see how thick-skinned Donald Trump truly was and truly is. That he took these not just arrows, he took 55 calibers right to the chest on a daily basis. He took the backstabbing by the whores in Washington, D.C., and he stood there and he took it and he moved forward with his agenda, and he did what he said he would do despite the sheer hatred for the man, because the man stay true to his word. It's unbelievable. I just every day goes by and you watch how fraudulent the Democrat Party is, how fraudulent the Washington, D.C. swamp is, and that includes both sides of the aisle. It's amazing what this one man withstood for 4 years with very little support. And those that did support him were basically his family, and they were, what, two or three trusted aides? Other than that, so in 1 year, there's no more anonymous sources in the White House?
Yeah.
Right?
I always talk about how it's all scripted and stuff, and you can almost see it. It's like last week there was a shelling over in Ukraine where supposedly a Russian shell hit a school. Okay. Now, if that school, and it was barely mentioned. I mean, you couldn't find it anywhere on the major news networks and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, now if that would have been a school in Gaza, oh, my God, you know, every media outlet in the country, you know, they'd have vans sitting over in Gaza City, you know, pointing to a Star of David on the shell. You know, they'd have, you know, 422 Palestinian kids running around with holes in them, all painted in ketchup to look like blood. And, of course, you know, you'd have, you know, the typical, you know, 30 Congress people, you know, on the floor, you know, demanding, you know, censor of the state of Israel and so forth. But, you know, it's all scripted. It's all, you know, it's all the agenda, and the memos come from on top, and here's what you go after, and here's what you say. And you know, I meant it. The people at Code Pink, they're still around. They just didn't get a memo. You know, the powers to be said, "Nah, we don't need them."
No, you got to cover for little Joe. So, you know, don't bring any light to this, you know. Suddenly, you know, Antifa, what's happening with them and burning down cities, it's not even an issue anymore. You know, but hey, the January 6th, those people were evil. We're gonna if you even thought about attending the January 6th rally, we're gonna root you out.
But you know, when I say these people in D.C. think that we're complete idiots and stuff, I mean it just goes to show you that even as clever as they are and as conniving as they are and so forth, as brilliant as they can be, you know, they are so out of touch with the regular people. They're so out of touch with what's actually being felt in the country. I mean, look in Canada. I mean, these people in government, you know, in Ottawa, I mean, they didn't think anything of this convoy, and all of a sudden they're up to their frickin' armpits in a shitstorm.
Yeah.
Because they were clueless. They had no idea that the Canadian people felt like this, okay? And so, you know, supposedly there's a convoy coming to D.C. too, and, you know, they'll be oblivious to it until all of a sudden things start to, you know, heat up a little bit.
Isn't it amazing? Is it yet that the arrogance of governments, whether it's in Canada or the United States, where the elected officials are, they believe that they're more powerful, and they hold themselves in such high esteem that they don't give the citizens any type of credit whatsoever, and we're seeing it in Canada. It was a small minority of people who were involved in this caravan, right? Remember that? It was just a small minority.
Oh yeah.
And now look at Calgary, and you look at all, you know, in Ottawa, and you've got now 125,000 trucks and vehicles that are in the convoy. And they're arresting restaurant owners who had the audacity to pay their bills by serving food to the people who stopped during the convoy to buy food. I mean, is that shameless or what?
Well, you know, it's the first time in the history of the world I've ever seen where a very small fringe minority actually drove the head of state into a fucking bunker to hide.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? I mean, that was...
Good point.
I mean, I would give my right... I give my right something to see Joe Biden and Dr. Jill scurrying over to, you know, Marine One to hightail it to Camp David in the middle of the fucking night. And you hear the trucks blaring their horns. Scamper Joe, you haven't moved like that in 5 years, dude. You look like Hillary dodging Serbian bullets.
Now, there's a fact that I appreciate.
Well, law enforcement in Ottawa began a crackdown. You probably saw this video against COVID-19 protesters in the Canadian capital on Friday. And the Ottawa police chief said that they would, quote, continue to push forward to take control of the streets. And they did, because a video has been circulating on social media. Many of y'all may have seen it, that an unidentified woman was one of several caught under hoof by cops on horses as authorities moved against the Freedom Convoy protesters as part of an operation that saw over 100 Canadians arrested. So they took their horses and they ran over a woman on a walker. That is how bad things are getting in Canada. Trudeau is a tyrant. Trudeau is a fascist.
Yep. And you know, I think there's a point to be made from people watching that, because, you know, if this convoy does end up in D.C., you know, we're probably going to have similar things happen and stuff. And I've been a supporter of law enforcement, you know, back to blue and all that kind of good stuff. But,
me too.
You know, for the people out there, you know, first of all, you know, the Oath Keepers are the new Nazis in this country, you know, after January 6th. And for the people out there that literally think that law enforcement is going to get to that point where they're going to say, you know, I can't do this to the American people, There's a lot of Canadians that never thought they'd see the RCMP ever do that to Canadians. There's a lot of people in Australia that never thought that they'd see their law enforcement services treat them like that. So bottom line is, when it comes down to it, and I don't think it includes all law enforcement, but they answer to a master. And you know, we got to get that out of our heads, you know, because, you know, you saw the footage from Portland, you know, when they were firebombing, you know, the federal building in Portland. Portland police sat three blocks away, you know, playing with themselves, sitting around joking. The only people that were there to protect that federal building were frickin' federal people that Trump set in from D.C. to try and protect the building. So law enforcement didn't do anything against Antifa in Portland. Well, look what law enforcement's doing to these Canadians in Ottawa.
The opposite. The law enforcement here, during all those Portland riots, they were ordered to stand down and do nothing. And that in the few arrests that they did make, the DAs let them off with a misdemeanor, and off they go.
Yep.
So they aided
and
abetted.
That's the and that's the point. You know, what I'm trying to say is this, is so like when we had all the trouble in Minneapolis, you know, they had if you watch some of the first footages and so forth of some of the protests at the police stations, the precinct in Minneapolis after George Floyd, you'll notice that most of the cops there are State Patrol riot control. Okay? Yeah, there's a reason for that, because they're controlled by the leftist governor of Minnesota. You know, the police department from five nearby cities, you know, might not be, you know, all that in favor of, like, doing this or doing that. You know, they might get a little bit more frisky. They might get a little bit more, you know, stern. But, you know, the governor sends down his troopers, and this is, you know, I'm convinced this is what went on in Canada. You know, they've got certain forces of law enforcement that will basically do anything they're told by the powers to be. And if that includes trampling a woman in a frickin' walker, go for it.
So how egregious, though, of an act is this trucker convoy? How bad is it? I mean, we're not talking about them burning down, you know, cities in Ottawa or in any cities in Calgary or Saskatchewan. We're talking about, you know, Canadian workers. These are the men and the women who transport goods all around the Canadian provinces, and they bring goods to market, and they're just speaking out. They don't want the oppression of the government. So what exactly, or how bad are these truckers? Seriously, how bad are they? They're not that bad. I mean, I think they're more patriotic. They believe in their country. Otherwise, why aren't they fleeing to other countries?
But, I mean, that's the whole point, though, Vito. I mean, this whole thing started because they had a mandate. If I'm not mistaken, the mandate was
correct,
that you couldn't cross the border unless you were vaccinated. And it was a vaccine mandate and so forth. And I'm sitting here, like, last week still watching this crap go on, and I'm thinking to myself, is the frickin' mandate still is it even still in effect? I mean, every other frickin' mandate across the world has basically gone away.
Correct.
You know, I mean, I thought to myself, you know, they're beating the crap out of people over a mandate that's probably either been lifted or is going to be lifted within the next 30 days.
And it's about control. I mean, look how quickly, you know, little Justin came, Margaret Trudeau's little boy, you know, quickly invoked, you know, supreme powers by the Canadian government. First he tried to discredit them, and now he's trying to, you know, be the overlord over them.
Well, his little communist dictatorship up there in Canada, I mean, this has all been worth it. Just for them to get that hacked info on the millions of people that gave money to Give, Send, Go, I mean, it was worth it, because now they've got all that database. They've got everybody under the sun, you know, in their database, so they know who the people are that have the biggest complaints against the government are, you know?
Yep, exactly. Here in the United States, we can't get 30,000 emails from Hillary Rotten Clinton, but they've got, you know, 4 million names of people who've donated to, you know, the truckers.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, I am. You got me all riled up here. It's like maybe I'm overdue to do a show or something like that. You know?
Hey, do you have a show coming up, by the way?
Oh, wait. Yeah. I do. I have a show this Friday night.
Okay.
7 p.m. Central Time here on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
And the title of the show is the first annual Holger conspiracy extravaganza.
Conspiracy.
So it should be an entertaining evening for everyone. Holger's going to cause some oohs and some ahs and some WTFs flying around the room that night. Some people are going to think I've lost it, but it'll be fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So that's 7 p.m. Central Time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Time, correct?
Yes. Yes, Friday night is the, the 25th?
The 25th, yep.
25th, yep.
All right.
Right here in Blog Talk Radio.
Great.
Be there or be nowhere.
We look forward to it.
All right, guys. Thanks for letting me call in.
Hey, you be safe out there. Thank you so much for the call, Holger. And we'll see what happens over the next, 72 hours and with regards to the Ukraine and Russia and the supply chain. So maybe you can report a little bit of an update on Friday about supply chain interruption that just happened.
Yeah. Things could get, we might end up paying more for food and stuff like that. So let's hope.
Yeah. But it's your patriotic duty to do so.
Yeah. All right, boys. Get you later.
All right,
great call.
All right,
to you Friday.
That was Holger Awakens. Great call as always. I can't believe he stayed on for that long. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
I'll be listening in Friday, 7 p.m.
Yep. Yes, I want to hear more about that and about the extravaganza, his conspiracy. Because everything today is a conspiracy. If you're coming from the right wing, it's everything's a conspiracy. But it's actually as a matter of fact. If the left wing proposes it, it's factual. You know, it's a fact. Okay, just like the fact. And you can go to Jihad Watch for this story. It is going to be a fact that the Biden administration is going to dump 16,000 Afghan translators in Loudoun County, Virginia, and most of them don't speak English. Sheriff Michael Chapman of Loudoun County, Virginia, got an unpleasant surprise recently from old Joe Biden's handlers. On Thursday, Loudoun County Sheriff's Office published a press release that reveals the truly astonishing extent of the administration's high-handedness, dishonesty, carelessness, and recklessness in its resettlement of Afghan refugees in cities and towns all over the United States. Without any prior warning, Loudoun County officials were told that 2,000 Afghan refugees would be arriving in the county in just over 2 weeks, and that 2,000 more would be arriving every month after that through September. And what will come as no surprise to anyone who's been paying attention for the last 13 months, Chapman and other Loudoun County officials found Biden team to be disingenuous, uncooperative, poorly prepared, and worse. And isn't it ironic, though, when we were talking about the elections in Virginia, what started the move for Glenn Youngkin was Loudoun County. And look where the Democrat Communist Party now has descended and relocating Afghan refugees. They dump them in Loudoun County with no warning, mind you. On February 4, 2022, says the Sheriff's Office press release, the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office received an unannounced visit by Department of Homeland Security, Federal Protective Service, in which it learns that approximately 2,000 Afghan refugees per month were slated to arrive at the Washington Dulles International Airport during a window beginning as early as February 19th and extended to September 2022. This gave them just 2 weeks to prepare for the influx. DHS and FPS regional personnel advised that refugees would be transported by bus to the National Conference Center, where they would stay until further ultimate relocation elsewhere to the United States. DHS FPS estimates that no more than 1,000 refugees per month would remain at the NCC at any given time until September 2022. The refugees, for the most part, would enter the U.S. from Qatar. Let's remember that in October 2021, a congressional delegation in Qatar, led by Daryl Issa, Republican from California, was told that fully 12,000 of the Afghans who had come to Camp As-Salia and then went to the U.S. had no identification at all. They came with nothing. No Afghan ID, no ID of any sorts. Those people were all forwarded onto the United States, and that's quite an admission. So many people had no ID whatsoever, and yet they find themselves in the United States today based on what they said. Now, President Trump had been excoriated because of the travel ban to five Islamic countries. Not a Muslim travel ban, mind you, because if it was a Muslim travel ban, all 56 Islamic states in the Palestinian territory would have been banned. That would have been a Muslim ban. But no, five countries. Why? Because you can't vet the refugees coming from the five countries, like, let's say, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, no stable form of government. Iran, which is a theocratic terrorist regime. I mean, it would be the prudent thing to do to vet these Muslim refugees because, let's face it, when a Muslim refugee goes jihad, the first excuse is that they suffer from mental illness. Now, with this mental condition, wouldn't it be incumbent upon the host country to properly vet a refugee? But here clearly, okay, you have a situation where Qatar is telling the United States that there are 12,000 that are coming to the United States with no identification, none. And this Biden-Harris-Obama regime are allowing this to happen, undermining U.S. sovereignty, undermining the security of the United States, undermining security of townships and cities around the country, including Loudoun County, Virginia. Furthermore, the stress that's going to be placed on Loudoun County, the infrastructure in Loudoun County, the resources of Loudoun County, the Medicaid doles in the state of Virginia are now subject to 2,000 people being dependent upon the state of Virginia. Not to mention we have translation issues. We have a language issue. We have a culture issue. There are customs that that Sharia-compliant individuals must adhere to that are not part of America's culture, America's fabric. And then you have crime. Talk about irresponsible. Talk about a government that is out of control. And furthermore, not getting with officials in Loudoun County to forewarn them, to prepare. You know, the intentional dismantling of our constitutional republic by the swamp in Washington, D.C. is outrageous. And what we are witnessing on a daily basis, whether it was the Obama-Biden regime or now with the Biden-Harris-Obama regime, is frankly un-American, not to mention anti-constitutional. Yet there's no accountability for what this feckless administration is doing. It seems like they put the Muslim Brotherhood, they've elevated the Muslim Brotherhood over America's laws. Oh, we have those sound bites. Remember all those sound bites? Well, we are a nation with a rule of laws. Unless, of course, this administration decides that they don't want to adhere to those rules of law. The repatriation of 12,000 Afghanis to the United States. There are 57 Islamic states in the world. 57. Why is it incumbent upon the West to repatriate individuals who do not espouse the same value system, the same customs, the same laws? Of those who believe that Allah is their God, Muhammad is their prophet, the Quran is their constitution. The United States, for example, we have a constitution. And here in the United States, a document that's provided guidance and has done so for over 234 years. It does recognize individual liberties and freedoms, individual liberties which are not part of Islamic customs or the Sharia. Notice, it's always a mental condition when an Islamic jihadist attack occurs in the West, which means that we have a very poor vetting process. And yet that vetting process is going to be stressed to the nth degree now with this very poor decision, yet another poor decision by the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. While there are five countries on the no-travel list under the Trump administration, the anti-American Islamic organizations denounced as a Muslim travel ban. Yet there are 56 Islamic states and the Palestinian territory for Muslims to migrate to, where they can reside under the Sharia. They don't have to compromise their customs or their value system. The Biden administration and the international community must wake up and address the fact that assimilation by devout fundamental Muslims is causing the intentional rejection of assimilation and integration into the West, including but not limited to the United States of America. From Germany to Sweden to the United Kingdom, from the United Kingdom to the United States of America to Australia and to New Zealand, the lack of assimilation and integration is an essential part of Islamic migration to the West. Then, of course, playing the victim is a conscious effort to quickly invoke the false charges of Islamophobia. We in the United States are not anti-immigration, but when you have immigration without assimilation and integration, there is no reason to migrate to the West. There's actually one reason to migrate to the West, or two reasons: domination and supremacy. And that's exactly what we are seeing around the world with Islamic migration. And perhaps Omar Ahmad, a co-founder of CARE, who was also formerly with the now defunct Islamic Association for Palestine, the IAP, which was raising money for Islamic terrorist organizations and shut down by the U.S. government, Omar Ahmad stated, "Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth." Those words should be heeded with great concern, because 25 years after those words were uttered, they are now ringing true. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. Domination. And this domination is being aided and abetted by the Biden-Harris-Obama regime and was placed on fast track during the Obama-Biden regime. You see a pattern? An anti-American, an anti-constitutional sentiment by the current U.S. administration, and certainly espoused by the Obama-Biden administration, who had little or no concern for the U.S. Constitution, and is little or no concern for the U.S. Constitution with the Biden-Harris-Obama regime. And what are we seeing in the United States? Islam being elevated. The belief that the Quran should be the highest authority in America, irrespective of the U.S. Constitution, specifically Article 6, Clause 2, the Supremacy Clause. You see, the U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. Not the U.N. law, not Sharia, but the U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. That's not a racist statement. That's not a bigoted statement, because Islam is not a race. It's America's foundation. Just like Islam is the foundation of Mecca, of Saudi Arabia, and the 56 Islamic states in the Palestinian territory. The U.S. Constitution is the foundation of America. With organizations such as Hamas Care, it's never about vetting the Islamic jihadists. It's all about making all Muslims victims in America. It's about using the Constitution to destroy the Constitution, and the co-founder of CARE, Omar Ahmad, even said it when he uttered the Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America. Listen to the supremacy and belief system, and you understand why Hamas CARE isn't concerned about vetting Muslims who supposedly pervert their religion, because there is no perversion of the religion by the believers. Allah is their God, Muhammad is their prophet, and the Quran is their constitution. CARE enjoys condemning police or any other official allegedly who is said to have ties with white supremacy organizations, yet CARE fails to condemn any Muslims who have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood or their front groups. Any ties to Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and who commits jihad in the name of Allah. Basically ignore them and immediately go after those who are accused of being white supremacists, because white supremacy is now the slogan of the anti-American movement in America. It's the all white people who are accused of being associated with any type of organization that CARE and the Democrat Communist Party despises. If you purchase a pillow from My Pillow, you're part of that white supremacy and white nationalism. If you go ahead and attend a Trump rally, you're part of a white nationalist movement. This is how the anti-American, the communist Marxist movement divides America. You enlist the help of other separatist organizations to continue the false narrative. The division continues. Further proof, go to RaymondIbrahim.com. That is www.RaymondIbrahim.com. RaymondIbrahim.com, and I'll put the link in the chat room. What a beautiful article. The timeliness of the article is fantastic. The title of the article is Islamic Fatwa Condemns Muslims' Engagements for Being Too Western. Dr. Salim Abdul Jalil issued a fatwa that stated that Muslim engages, he condemns Muslims for being too Western, which further proves that there's the Islamic world itself doesn't recognize Western values. Why then are you migrating to Europe? Why are you migrating to Australia? Why are you migrating to the United States of America when in fact you better integrate and assimilate to your fellow 57 countries? Why? Domination and supremacy. And Raymond Ibrahim absolutely nails the article. Yet another example of how the average Muslim's lifestyle contradicts the draconian dictates of Sharia was on recent display. During a talk show that aired January 16th, a Muslim cleric, Dr. Salim Abdul-Jalil, secretary of fatwa at the Egyptian House of Ifta, which specializes in issuing fatwas, complained that most modern-day Muslim engagements contradict Islamic law, not least because they resemble Western-style celebrations rather than authentically Muslim ones, which should be more like a simple business transaction. He offered much Sharia minutia and legalese on the topic, including who gets and doesn't get gifts, how many, but his main point was that engagements between a Muslim man and woman should be very simple and limited only to those people directly involved, the bride, the groom, and their parents. His austere views are hardly aberrant. Many Muslim clerics agree, pointing out to the many Muslim engagements influenced by Western ones, discussing the examples, the exchange of engagement rings in Islamic Q&A. I'm not going to read the whole article, but the timing of Raymond Ibrahim's article is brilliant because it's not about assimilation to the West. And even Islamic clerics are now issuing fatwas against Muslims who are assimilating to the West or dare to integrate to Western values. Western values are not recognized. So why then are we making such an effort to repatriate and migrate tens of thousands of Muslims into America? We read the stories on a daily basis of what's happening in the United Kingdom, what's happening in Germany, the stabbings and the beheadings in France, the beheadings in the United Kingdom, the persecution of Christians in all over Africa, including Nigeria, by Boko Haram, in Pakistan, in Lahore. And now it's confirmed. And this Muslim cleric, Dr. Salim Abdul-Jalil, he can't be more than 50 years old. So it's not an old guy like the Ayatollah Ali pedophile who's making these edicts or these fatwas. Al, I found the timing of the article to be absolutely brilliant. I think Raymond Ibrahim nails it once again. This is about domination. This is about supremacy. And while we may get condemned for our views, I think this article that Raymond put out on February the 3rd is brilliant. Islamic fatwa condemns Muslim engagements for being too Western. They don't want the Western values. They reject the Western. Sharia rejects the Western value system. Why then would Muslims be so hard to repatriate to, let's say, the United States of America, if in fact the laws of those respective countries are rejected because they don't comply with Islamic values, with Islamic customs? Hence, you have the victim status that play that's done by Hamas Care, that every one of their Muslims are victims. And of course, they pick and choose their battles. And of course, they don't recognize or acknowledge the Islamic jihadists.
Well, the Democrat Party wants these Muslims here, and they're paying good money to bring each head over on a per-head basis with a lot of the Catholic groups, Jewish groups are bringing them over, and they're getting paid a lot of money. And the Democrat Party knows that once they bring their families over, they're having 5-6 children per family. So they're looking at this as a future voter endeavor. The national security of the United States is secondary to the future voters, a future power for the Democrat Party, and it's disgusting.
Well, it is. And, you know, Ann Corcoran had the refugee resettlement watch, and she kind of suspended it during the Trump administration. But I see that it's back again. And she has Refugee News Roundup February 14, 2022. And she sees it. And you know what? She's been exposing these the Catholic bishops, the Jewish Federated, the bridge organizations that are making a killing off of repatriating refugees to America. They're now it's been restarted. The program of resettlement has been restarted, and these organizations who had ended up leaving after 2017 and going to Europe are now moving back into the United States because they're making tens of millions of dollars off of taxpayers. They get a commission for bringing each person in. It's incredible. It's incredible what we're seeing today. And yet it's flying under the radar.
Well, I was researching this a little bit, and even going back to 2004, 2005, 2010, when U.S. troops were in country, that they were bringing in their local interpreters, and they were having problems with the interpreters then, not being able to speak English, not being able to speak Pashtun, so they couldn't even interact with the local Taliban. And it cost a lot of soldiers their lives. And so this is not anything new to the U.S. government. So this is just a continuation, and I think it's planned policy, planned for the reason by the Democrats to control power.
Without a doubt. And here are the resettlement agencies and their affiliated networks that are making money off of the U.S. taxpayer. Church World Service, CWS, the Domestic and Foreign Missionary Society, DFMS, Episcopal Migration Ministries, EMM, Ethiopian Community Development Council, ECDC, HIAS.org, International Rescue Committee, IRC, what a great, rescue. Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, LIRS, U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigration, and immigrants. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, USCCB, Migration and Refugee Services, and the World Relief, WR. These are resettlement agencies now who are back and active in the United States, who are making an exorbitant amount of money off of the U.S. taxpayers. These are the organizations that actually were complaining that refugee resettlement had dried up and they had to go elsewhere from 2018 to 2020. And they ended up, many of these organizations went overseas in order to maintain their coffers, their income levels. It's incredible what we are seeing today. Honest to God, more and more has to be brought out with regards to this, the resettlement and the repatriation. And again, Raymond Ibrahim, I put the link in the chat room. He nails it. And now you've got Refugee Resettlement Watch, Ann Corcoran nails it again. And she lists all the organizations who are making money off of the U.S. taxpayer. And it's sickening, man. It's absolutely sickening what we are seeing today. But all by design. I mean, this is no accident. From the supply chain interruption issue to higher energy costs to the refugee resettlement, and now Loudoun County, Virginia, is going to feel the pain of 2,000 refugees being thrust upon them who don't speak many who don't speak the language. Many will be dependent upon the state's Medicaid program, which means that the services inside that county are going to be swelled, including interpretation. And why Loudoun County? Why did this administration pick Loudoun County? And I'll tell you, there's nothing by accident with this administration. As we said with Holger, they're so predictable, they're boring. Loudoun County was the start of the rise of Glenn Youngkin, candidate Youngkin, in the Virginia's governor's race. And now, again, this is a vicious administration. This administration is like the Obama-Biden administration in that you will be penalized to your belief system. And we will make you pay. That's my opinion. Just too many coincidences, and there are no such thing as a coincidence any longer. This is not someone who is that inept. These decisions are made intentionally. How do you have a supply chain interruption back last year and you have the Secretary of Transportation going on maternity leave at the height of a supply chain interruption? Oh, it was maternity leave, Vito. Just be so compassionate. A border crisis. We have a border czar who's done absolutely nothing, and now she's in charge of being a diplomat for Ukraine and Russia. I mean, what an experience. But Al, you did correct me on that one, and I got to say, I didn't realize that Ukraine is not having any issues with Mexicans pouring over their border, so I guess she is doing her job.
And she's not getting any kudos for it except here.
Yeah.
So, way to go, Kamala.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, just not getting it, man. It's pretty sad what we're seeing today. I don't know if it's going to get any better. Obviously, with this regime, it's not. I think the Ukraine issue is a false flag. Nothing happened by Friday. I think that
I owe you $5.
Oh, well, you do owe me $5. Yes. Yeah. The thing is, nothing happened by Friday. But again, there was more talk about diplomacy. And they pranced, what's her name, Kamala to Munich for this conference. And of course, Joe is just too feeble to travel. But isn't it ironic that, again, over the weekend, it was all about diplomacy, right? And now we have the word patriotism being bandied about, that Americans must look at paying higher gas prices as being your patriotic duty. So tell us, when President Trump was president and gas was down to $1.85 a gallon, let's say on the average, it's $2.07 when you take into account California's average, but in the South we were looking at $1.80, $1.85 a gallon. And unemployment was at 3%. We had no supply chain issues. We had we had oil that we were exporting. We were exporting natural gas. Heating fuel oil was down to $2 a gallon, maybe a little bit less. We didn't have these issues. We had full unemployment. Technically, 3% unemployment is full unemployment. We had less people. Okay, that were dependent upon the federal government for like food stamps. It went from 49.9% down into the 30s, and we had no supply chain issues. You know, a case of Diet Coke was $7.49. Today it's $13.99. A gallon of gas was $1.89 a gallon. Yesterday I spent $3.49. No accident. Absolutely no accident.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
Not tonight. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
But Al, but you know what? When you're pumping gas into your truck and it's now costing you, $26 more, just think of the patriotic duty that you're doing. Your patriotism that you are feeling when you are pumping that extra $26 out of your checking account into your truck.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember that we were supposed to be doing our patriotic duty to be wearing a mask and getting the COVID shot, not only for us, but to save our family, to save our grandparents, to save our children, and to do the right thing by the community, we should wear the mask. And if you don't wear the mask, then you don't care about the community, and you are a pariah.
Yeah.
For 2 years, the non-mask wearers and the non-vaccine takers have been the focus of ridicule.
Exactly.
So every time I hear it's for the good of the people or it's good of the community, look out, because you're about to get screwed.
Yes. Open up your wallet. Go to the store. If you can find Vaseline on the shelf, you might as well buy it. Well, hey, I don't know where the time went. Oh, and that's your computer virus, people. I have a cough.
Computer virus.
Hey, tomorrow night, we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross of the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Polly Sports at 5:30 Eastern Time. We got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. And at 6 p.m., he's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization, Jihad. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday, right about 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakdek and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with his Crossing the Crescent Interfaith Dialogue, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Alan and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio to listen to would be G-Ski and Dave, Friday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Airwaves America, hosted by G-Ski and Dave. And keep G in your prayers, please. And, of course, this Friday, you've got Holger with Holger Awakens, the first annual Holger Conspiracy Extravaganza on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Central Time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday, February 25th. Also on Friday, Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio with her great sidekick, Curtis, Friday afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Cheap Simple Facts of Life on Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Audrey Russo, Real Talk Radio, Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com, R-U-S-S-O.com. And if you want a break from politics and Islam and you want a good self-help show, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. That is Blog Talk's sister station. Sister station, I guess you can say. He's got a great, Joshua has a great show, great self-help, great way to learn about eating, and just a good show all in all. So I urge you to check out Joshua Show. And Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening. Al, any party shots?
Adios, amigos. See you next Monday.
Hey, I want to thank Sue from New Mexico. Sue's on the switchboard. Nice to see you, Sue. Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blogspot. Check it out. I go there every day, and Big's got a great blogspot, international news, national news, from all media sources. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you, boy. Becky Northwest, he gets a Mama Mia for being in the chat room first. And I, Guy. Nice to see you, Guy. Had a great lunch today. You guys be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. And thank you all for joining us. Have a good evening, everyone. Be safe. And just watch the shelves. You know, we have a supply chain. It's due to Russia and Ukraine. But you didn't know that back in March of 2021.
Yes, it was mine.
It, that's all, folks.
Right on the money.
That's all, folks.
Chow for now. Chow
now. Good.
Chow for now. Get that F-O-R-E.
For now. I didn't know he was a Stern fan.
Oh, is he?
I don't know.
Oh.
Bye for now. That was Eric the Midget. That was his ending tagline.
Oh, was it?
Bye for now. Yeah, bye for now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hmm.
Huh. Learned something new today.
I tell you. And great information at that.
I'll tell you, you're just a wealth of knowledge.
Useless knowledge.
Yeah, but you know what? It's good knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
you win trivia games with that one.
Yep. Man, I tell you, this year, I can't imagine what 3 years are going to look like.
Oh. You know, it's been a disaster. And you know, Al, the sad part of this whole thing, well, it's wreaking havoc on Americans' budgets, without a doubt. But the fact is that there's no acknowledgement of these financial pressures. There's no acknowledgement to the higher gas prices. And it's almost like it's incumbent upon this administration to avoid even talking about it because it brings to light. And you've got nobody in the Democrat Party is talking about gas prices. All you hear about is how they're going to spend money and how they want to, you know, we're going to create jobs. We're going to spend $4 trillion, you know, to create jobs. Well, excuse me, but how is it that just 3 years ago, you didn't have to spend $4 trillion to create jobs? You let the private sector do it, and the private sector did a damn good job in creating jobs. Lowering taxes was to create jobs. But now the excuse is from Washington, D.C. is we have to spend money. They shut down this economy. They shut down businesses. They want people indentured to the federal government and believe in all this horse shit that's going on. They've scared people half to death. They've instilled fear into children with all this pandemic bull. And there's no talk from the and I say the Democrat Party because that's who the administration, the party affiliation of the current administration in the White House is. And do any of the Democrats talk about the $3.50 a gallon in Florida, or the $7 a gallon in California? How are no congressmen and women or the two senators not talking about $7 a gallon gas in California? How are you not even talking about that? $4.40 a gallon in New York City. Oh my God, what the fuck? So you just ignore it.
Same reason they're not talking about the Durham report on Hillary.
Oh,
talking about
yeah.
a news blackout.
Oh,
one day, maybe two. The Republicans have been silent.
It's a conspiracy theory, by the way, if they are talking about it.
Yeah, and it's been 2 years in the making. And so we talked about it a little bit, but I can't get all excited about it because I know I'm going to get let down at the end of the day.
Yeah, right.
I just know it.
I agree.
Unless something's been filed that I missed, but I don't know. Maybe I missed something.
No, you're not missing anything. Honestly, you're not missing anything. And that's the
I wish
problem.
I was.
I know, right? I mean, how many Republicans are talking about this with regards to, you know, Hillary Rodham Clinton. And you know, I didn't get the chance to play the clip from this past weekend of Hillary, you know, speaking at the New York State Democrat Convention. And again, I love these news readers who all talk about the Democratic Convention in New York. It's like, no, there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. So the shameless Hillary Rodham Clinton is invited as a keynote speaker at the New York State Democrat Party Convention. Now, what was just revealed about this grifter, okay? What was just revealed about the crooked Clinton and the fact that she, in the Durham report, is clear that her campaign and she told a lie, invented the Russian collusion. There was no Russian collusion on the part of Donald Trump nor his campaign. And even Mueller on page two, even Mueller states they found no Russian collusion between Donald Trump and the Russians, nor anyone in his campaign. And now we find out that this con woman, Hillary Rodham Clinton, was the one that was behind it. And as if we're supposed to be surprised, right? Because this is the same grifter who 3 months earlier, okay, in what, July of 2016, at the start of the Democrat National Convention, the DNC chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, little Debbie, had to step down because they found that she cheated. They rigged the Democrat presidential primary against Bernie Sanders. They rigged it. They cheated. And so Hillary is the master of defeat, this deceit. And she foments the campaign of disinformation and misinformation, and she did it this past weekend at the New York State Democrat Convention. Absolutely shameless, talking about the truth, talking about facts and reality. And then she went on to blast, you know, Fox News, because Fox News was the reason why stories like these attack stories on her are have any legs, because Fox News makes it up. As if Fox News is supposed to be now the right-wing news source. I don't even listen to Fox News anymore. I'm so disgusted with them. I mean, this woman is a con woman. She is a grifter. She has no soul. She has no heart. And she has the audacity to scold about a sense of truth, facts, and reality itself, when in fact this woman lied about Benghazi. She lied about her Russian involvement. She lied. Hold your board. She lied about what happened in Bosnia.
Mm-hmm.
She has no shame. I'm gonna play it next week. That if we have time, I'll play that. It's a 5 minute clip of her. It's a two minute and 50 second clip of her speech. And she's absolutely shameless. She is absolutely shameless. Unbelievable. I can't, you know, it's unbelievable how they can sanitize this woman. And she's almost untouchable. It's like, does she have that much dirt on Washington, D.C. that nobody except for Trump goes after her? Nobody.
I guess she does. Hell, Mitch McConnell. I mean, look at Mitch McConnell and his wife, Elena Chao. They got ties to the Chinese.
Yep.
They're dirty.
And nothing. But he remains in leadership, right? He remains in the Republican Party leadership role.
Yeah, Swalwell, Fang Fang, and he's still on the International Relations Committee,
Foreign Affairs Committee, and
Foreign
the
Affairs,
Judicial Committee,
worse.
And the Judicial Committee, I think. Honestly, I you know, the when you see, you know, Hillary come out from under her rock and she goes to these events, the Democrat Party is complicit as well in elevating this woman and putting her past, I don't want to even say indiscretions, her past lying and cheating. I mean, they put that, I mean, they push that all aside and she's the keynote mm-hmm. speaker. Unbelievable.
Yep. And even Bill Clinton with all of his problems, too.
Oh.
Looked
oh. Up. Epstein Island. I mean, okay. If you say what, he went once. He didn't go twice. He didn't go five times. He went 27 times. Prince Andrew was a convenient punching bag now, okay? And his mother immediately removes him from any type of public, what would you say, public appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's nothing. Bill Clinton, there's photos. He's with John Roberts. And they're swimming in a some sort of a lake or a pond in Epstein Island. And there's no talk, none. Underage girls. I mean, just, it. I mean, not that we're Puritans. Certainly, I mean, I'm no saint. But Jesus, you know, there's absolutely no consequences for these people's actions.
And we got no clue how they've been blackmailed over the years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Forget about the moral aspect. I'm more worried about them being targets for blackmail.
Yep. Yes. I mean, including the Biden crime family. I mean, look how sordid that family turns out to be. And again, the New York Times, New York Post is suppressed from printing information. They have concrete evidence of what Hunter Biden did, and they were silenced. We find out that the term "the big guy" means that Joe Biden is in on these covert deals. Hunter Biden receives $3.2 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife, mm-hmm. Moscow, Russia, and there's no uproar. But now there has to be an uproar that maybe Donald Trump misstated his empire's worth. It's not worth $10 billion, it's worth $9 billion, and he lied. Oh. But we're not going to be concerned about Joe Biden, vice president at the time, receiving millions of dollars perhaps from China, from Russia, from Ukraine. I mean, wow. Wow. Yeah.
I have no idea where it all leads.
I know.
It's not going to be a good place.
No, it's not. And it's, you know, you do have to wonder where it's going to lead to. It really have to wonder. But it's going to lead us to say goodnight, right?
Exactly. All right. Well, you have a great week.
Yeah, thanks for letting me opine tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's always fun.
So have a nice straight. Evening. Yeah, you yep. too. Hit him straight. Gonna try.
Yep.
You hitting them good?
Went, I don't know. It was going great, and then it went the other way. My handicap was going down. I was down to a 12. Now I'm back up to a 14.
I know. This is frustrating, isn't it?
I, it figured out, but it's speed and tempo, and I just have to slow down. That's all there is to it. But it's a struggle. Should be very easy, but it's not.
I know. I know. God, it drives you nuts. Oh my gosh.
Oh well, that's golf.
I know. That's, otherwise, we'd be speaking from a different level if it was that easy, right?
That's right. All right. Well, next time I see you, I'll give you your $5, well earned, and I'm glad that I lost because we're not at war.
I know. Oh my God. You know, but it's well, thank goodness. I mean, who knew? I mean, who knows? I mean, this whole thing is just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, have a good evening. Good night, Sue.
All right.
Be safe out there. Ciao.
All right, adios.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.